The Woodlanders by Thomas Hardy, read by Rufus Sewell. The rambler who should trace the forsaken coach road running from Bristol to the south shore of England would find himself, during the latter half of his journey, in the vicinity of some extensive woodlands interspersed with apple orchards. At one place, on the skirts of the Blackmoor Vale, where the brow of High Stoy Hill is seen ahead, the leaves lie so thick in autumn as to completely bury the track. At this spot, on the lowering evening of a bygone winter's day, there stood a man. It could be seen by a glance at his dress that he did not belong to the country proper, and from his air that he was puzzled about the way. At first not a soul appeared who could enlighten him, but presently a noise of wheels became audible, and there loomed a carrier's van half full of passengers. He held up his stick, and the woman who was driving drew rein. "I've been trying to find a short way to Little Hintock this last half hour, Mrs. Dollery," he said. "You can help me, I dare say." She assured him she could, though it is such a little small place that you need have candle and lantern to find it if you don't know where it is. He mounted and sat beside her. As they rumbled on, the passengers in the back indulged in a confidential chat about him. "'Tis Barber Perkham," said one. "What business can bring him out here?" The barber, though he had nodded and spoken genially, seemed indisposed to gratify the curiosity that he aroused. Thus they rode on, and High Stoy Hill grew larger ahead. At length could be discerned in the dusk, about a half mile to one side, gardens and orchards, as it were, snipped out of the woodland. It was one of those sequestered spots where may usually be found more meditation than action, yet where, from time to time, dramas of a grandeur and unity truly Sophoclean are enacted by virtue of the concentrated passions and closely knit interdependence of the lives therein. This place was Little Hintock. At the corner of the lane which branched to the hamlet, the barber alighted. "A clever young doctor lives in the place you will be going to. Not because there's anybody foreign to cure there, but because they say he's in league with the devil." The observation was flung at the barber by one of the women at parting as a last attempt to get at his errand. But he made no reply and plunged towards the umbrageous nook. As few people pass this way after dark, a majority of the denizens of Little Hintock deemed window curtains unnecessary, and their visitor endeavoured to conjecture from the persons and things he observed within who resided there. Only the smaller dwellings interested him. Half a dozen were passed without result. The next, which stood opposite a tall tree, was in an exceptional state of radiance, and he beheld a girl working. With a billhook in one hand and a leather glove much too large for her on the other, she was making spars, such as used by thatchers. In years she was no more than 19. She had but little pretensions to beauty, save in one particular, her hair. Its abundance made it almost unmanageable. Its colour was a rare and beautiful chestnut. The newcomer tapped and entered. The young woman turned, exclaiming, "Oh, Mr. Perkham, surely you have not come for—" "Yes, to have your answer about this." He touched her hair with his cane, and she winced. "I cannot part with it." "Look, Marty, how much do you get for making these spars?"
"Hush! Father's upstairs awake, and he don't know I'm doing his work."
"How much?" said the man more softly.
18 pence a thousand."
Her visitor paused, to fix the probable sum necessary to outweigh her present resources and her woman's love of comeliness. "Here is a sovereign. As much as you'd earn in a week and a half, and it's yours for just letting me snip off what you got too much of."
"I won't sell. I'll make the one sovereign two rather than go back empty-handed."
"No," she cried.
"The lady wants it badly."
"Who is she, then?"
"As she is going abroad soon, it makes no difference who she is."
"I know who 'tis. 'Tis she at the house, Mrs. Charmond." The man dropped his voice.
"Well, it is. You sat in front of her at church the other day, and she noticed how exactly your hair..."